gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
It's a Tuesday morning and joining me today on the telephone, I've got Claire, the garden editor. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing this bright
day? Thank you. Well, I'm all right. Yourself? What are you done with the weather? It was a bit iffy on Monday.
I know, it's always iffy, but it's bright on the inside and that's what matters, eh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Have you had a good week?
I have indeed. I have indeed. It was a really nice hot summer weekend. It felt like summer was here. And then this week, it's been not quite so bright, but it's nice. We're getting out. The temperature's rising. I'm getting my gardener's tan on, which is hilarious. I kind of get brown arms and brown a bit on the legs and everything else is bright white. So it's a strong look. It's a strong
look,
I think.
Well, that's all right, isn't it? As long as you're getting a bit of a tan. I'm translucent. I'm more like, you know.
Yeah, I think we've all had a bit of a shock. But it is a serious point, though. Now that the temperatures are rising, if you are outside gardening, do make sure you protect yourself from the sun, whether that's sun cream, a sun hat, clothing, things like that. It's because it's been so flipping awful, we're now all dashing outside, so our skins might not have had a chance to adjust. So I'm not a professional, but do look after your sun
Take
care in the sun. Yeah, it's stronger than you think sometimes.
Okay, all right. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we'd done a Q&A session. What are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to pick up at the end. One of the last questions we couldn't pick up, but I thought because it's been warm and wet, everyone is moaning to me about slugs and snails. So I thought we would do a bit of a dirty dive about slugs and snails.
Okay, then.
How are you with the creepy crawlies?
Well, none really. Yeah. I don't mind snails and slugs, but they just end up treading on them, really, don't I?
Well, because we've had such a wet winter and it's been warm, what we found is the slug population in particular and the snail population has been really, really big this spring. So even some people whose gardens are normally never touched by slugs and snails, people are coming up and telling me all about all their precious, prized dahlias or hostas, which have been just nibbled to death. And so I thought we'd talk about how to manage that problem because it is distressing for some people. I don't mind slugs and snails, but I'm not a fan of eating snails. I've tried them once, but I wasn't particularly impressed. But obviously the French take that approach to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can see my face then. Oh, no.
So the first thing to say is the RHS, the Royal Horticultural Society, has recently reclassified slugs and snails and said we shouldn't treat them as a pest, but just as like any other living thing which lives in our gardens. And what we're trying to do now is encourage people to manage them responsibly, but that doesn't mean necessarily not trying to make sure that your garden grows in a good way, but thinking more holistically about the problem. So the first thing I would say is the more wildlife friendly your garden, the more likely it is you're going to be encouraging things which are going to eat your slugs and snails for you. So, for example, if you have a pond, toads and frogs love eating slugs and snails. Absolutely adore eating them. And if you have hedgehogs, or if you can encourage hedgehogs by kind of encouraging low brushwood and having those little gaps under the fences for your local hedgehogs to go to and fro, they also absolutely adore eating slugs and snails. So the more you can encourage a wider range of animals and insects and kind of a wider range of species into your garden, the more likely it is you'll find something who thinks, aha, I like a snail as much as a local Frenchman in Paris. So you're basically thinking, can I make nature work for me as much as possible by making this someone else's delicious food source rather than my lettuces or whatever it is? So that's the first thing I would say. But that takes time. And if you're saying, but Claire, my garden is overrun with slugs now, what can I do? Well, depending on how queasy you are, we kind of move up the hierarchy of what to do. So we would always say the first step is after you're, you know, looking after your garden, use physical means of control. So that means getting a head torch on, getting a plastic bag over your hand, going out at night, turning things over, and you'll probably find...
I've got that vision of you with one of them head torches on, creeping around the garden now.
I used to do this in one of my old gardens. I did have a big slug
All
problem,
right.
and I did do this. And I would always do it with a plastic bag over your hand because slug goo, I promise you, it is the stickiest thing in the world. I think they might even use it in medical science. It's so super strong. But that's not for the faint-hearted, but it is a good way of removing it because you're breaking the cycle of reproduction, just removing all the slugs you can physically see. But you know that is not for everyone. But it will get rid of a lot of them. Then the next thing I'd say is give them other things that they prefer to eat rather than the plants you want to protect. So this can be something, I'm going to blow your mind here, Dave. This is
All
a
right.
very weird concept.
Okay,
It's
I'm
called
listening.
spare leftover beer. I'm going to repeat those words, spare leftover beer.
Can you add those two words in the same sentence? Like
Well,
leftover
I
beer.
know. I know. So brace yourselves. Slugs absolutely adore drinking beer.
Right.
So one way of doing it, if you have such a concept of leftover beer or super cheap beer, is to get a saucepan, a saucer, or kind of a shallow dish and put that in the garden so it's flush with your soil level and fill it with beer.
Oh,
And
yeah, I've
what that
heard
does,
that. Yeah.
yeah, it creates a beer trap. So you're containing the problem, you're not contaminating the soil. All you're doing really is creating an environment in which all the slugs come in and they have a lovely, boozy end to their lives. So I know the concept of spare beer is challenging. I'm sure at various supermarkets one could get very cheap beer if you thought that was just, you know,
Absolutely, yeah.
unfiltering it. But that is a way of doing it, which means that you're not spending a fortune on different bits and pieces, and you're not having to go out at 10 o'clock at night and pick off the slugs. But that's one way I have found that actually really, really useful and a good way of getting rid of quite a lot of them.
Oh, okay. All right.
The other way to do it is to plant something they prefer to eat. And
Yeah.
this is a concept that we call sacrificial plants. It's a bit like, you know, in the films, there's always someone, don't shoot me, shoot him. And, you know,
Yeah,
someone
yeah.
steps forward to take the bullet.
Yeah.
So these are the things, if you have like a really precious plant, like something with emotional significance or something you've really nurtured, like a dahlia or a hosta, something you're really, really wanting to protect, you can plant around it with other plants that either the slugs don't like, so you're kind of providing a bit of a barrier, or you plant up with plants that they really do like, so they basically eat those over
Your other one, yeah.
your other one. Yeah. So things like lettuce. So I know that sounds a bit weird, but again, in the supermarkets, sometimes you see little baby lettuce plug plants. Slugs love lettuce. So if you want to grow your own or do things like that, you can always plant these around your big lettuces or about around your big prize plants, and they'll go for those first. They're relatively cheap. I heard someone say that slugs also really like chervil, which is again a herb you can buy. You can probably buy in Sainsbury's in those little or and in other supermarkets, of course, in those other those, you know, those li little living herb pot plant pots.
Yeah.
But that might be a way of doing it as well. Personally, I've not had as much success as that because I think if you give them one sacrificial plant, all that means is you tell them there's really good food around here, boys and girls. So
Yeah.
once we finish chomping on this, let's go for the prize one. But
Then after that, we can go and get drunk in that beer trap at the
in
other
that
end of the
bit,
garden. Yeah.
yeah, indeed, indeed.
So if you put a beer trap down, wouldn't hedgehogs drink that at all?
No, they don't tend to. And sometimes you can get them. You can actually buy these physical beer traps, and they kind of have almost have like a bit of a lid, so it stops other things drinking them or
Oh,
falling
yeah,
into them.
supposed to be an open dish here.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. But it's a good point. But say we're kind of moving up the hierarchy of kind of trade-offs between the lowest intervention is make your garden wildlife friendly. The next one is pick stuff off by hand. Now we're kind of saying here are the way there's a bit more kind of trade-offs to be made.
Yeah.
So the next one, which I think links into one of the questions we had on our last session, which is about eggshells and what we can use eggshells for.
Yeah.
And this is about barrier methods. So what can we do to protect, to actually physically prevent slugs and snails getting to our plants? And as we said, they're very sticky. They have a really slimy trail. But what that means is if you have grit or really sharp, hard surfaces, slugs and snails don't tend to like going across those. It's basically uncomfortable for their big foot, their big pedicel. So the things that work for me is having plants in pots and then having grit or gravel or eggshells or something hard and stony on top of those plants. And so, for example, my hostas have been completely slug-free for many, many years by using pots and then using mulch on top. Some people talk about copper bands, where you can get these copper bands that you put around the top of pots, and basically that kind of gives a slightly teeny tiny electric shock
All right.
to the slugs and snails. Now, I don't think you see them frying. It's not like those
Electrocution.
exactly, there's electrocution, when you see in the kebab shop and you see the
Yeah.
fly go into the thing and it's
Oh,
all
yeah.
all exciting. I don't think it's that. I think it's a much more subtle way of preventing them or discouraging them from crossing them. The only thing I would say with that is it could be work out quite expensive if you're putting copper bands around lots and lots of copper pots, lots of pots rather. So I'd always suggest see what how you get on with things in pots. So you're kind of raising them up from the lovely damp wet ground and then putting mulches or gravel on top as that.
Sometimes they, I mean, you read about putting salt down, and that's not good. That's
Yeah.
not good, though, is it?
Well, salt is another way of killing them. So, for
All
example, if
right,
you were
okay,
out with your head torch and you could put the salt on them, it's a slow death.
yeah. So
You
now,
want the.
is a snail then? Is a slug a homeless snail?
I think, and I'm not an insectologist or whatever those.
Oh, there's a word. There's that dictionary again. You swallowed.
Don't even think it's a word. I think I've just made it up.
Don't matter.
I'm not a slugologist. I think they're slightly different but related.
Okay, right.
I think the same principles apply to both of them when we're trying to control them. And it tends to be slugs have a worse rep. Snails tend to not have so much of a sweet taste for the very
Oof,
fleshy leaves.
don't. It's just my stomach's churning thinking about it now. Oh my God, no, no.
I know, I bring all the fun things. Anyway, we're nearly at the end,
All
so
right,
don't
okay.
worry. You've done very well so far. And then before using chemicals and kind of inorganic chemicals, we used to use slug pellets, those bright blue things, but we realized back in the 80s and 90s that the problem was the slugs ate those and died, but they were dying, and then the songbirds were eating them, and then the songbirds would be dying because they'd be ingesting the poisoned slugs and snails.
All
So
right.
that's why
And
we
some of
don't
those
tend.
slug pellets are not good for your animals, are they? If you've got cats and dogs in
Exactly,
the garden as well.
exactly, exactly. Now I'm going to blow your mind because this last tip is one which I think is really, really exciting. It's called something called nematodes. And I've swallowed the dictionary again, haven't I? Do you know what a nematode
Well, if you could see me, then my eyebrows raised when you said that, because I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
You'd just be going, there goes Claire over again. So nematodes are microscopic, teeny, 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 tiny worms.
All
And
right.
you buy them in almost like this weird powder form, and you add them to water, and you drench your garden in these nematodes, and they eat the slugs from the inside out. They bury
Oh,
through the
that's nice,
soil.
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, it's using nature. So it's using what we would call a biological control method. So it's a method of using another species which is likely to predate that thing. So rather than the big one, like getting a hedgehog and hoovering a hedgehog along, can't get those very easily, but you can buy nematodes. And you can buy them for all different types of pests, and they're incredible. They're so tiny you can't see them, but you buy them in this kind of powdery form. You follow the instructions very carefully about how much to dilute it by, and you put that in the soil, and they wiggle their way through the soil, and they wiggle their way inside the relevant pest that you want to get rid of, and they literally eat them from the inside out. So that
And they are
is
actual worms.
actual microscopic worms, actual
And
teeny,
they come in
like,
powder form.
and they come in this kind of weird
Wow.
powder. Yeah. So there you go, nematodes. That is your, I'm afraid that's your mind blown for today.
Oh, it is. And I'm quite impressed with that. Never
Yeah.
heard of them before.
No, it's a really interesting way of science and research and development, meaning that we're using nature to improve our gardens without costing the earth. And the science is good on how it's not affecting the wider biodiversity, and you can get them for all sorts of different types of things. So Google nematodes, Nematodes.
Did you
You'll
have that in
get up.
front of you then?
No, I had my eyes closed because I
Oh.
have to spell with my. I feel like I'm writing on a blackboard. I feel like
All
I'm
right.
seven again.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's the slugs and snails way of managing it. None of them is going to give you necessarily 100%, but it's all about living with nature and doing what we want to do to kind of get the right degree of intervention in our gardens that we feel comfortable and we feel is sustainable. So I hope that helps.
I'm sure it will. Now you're going to be back in 2 weeks' time, aren't you? And
I
then we'll
am going
be,
to be
oh,
back in
what's
2 weeks'
that?
time.
It's going to be
It's going to be June. So, my
June,
last quick one, if we can just fit
isn't
it in, someone asked about the Chelsea chop in our Q&A last week.
it?
And that was someone had a question, what is it? When do I do it? So, the Chelsea Flower Show is just around the corner. It's in a couple of weeks' time. And the Chelsea chop is where we cut down some plants around this time to stop them flopping over. So they then regrow this season and they still have all the flowers and all the nice bits.
Right.
And we tend to do it to things like Hylotelephium, sorry, it's a long word, which is like a sedum, an ice plant. Geraniums, you can do it too, and catmints. And it's a good way of kind of preventing everything becoming really, really tall and leggy and floppy, and then just splurging all over the garden for the rest of the summer. So it feels a bit counterintuitive, cutting back hard in the Chelsea chop and then seeing the regrowth happen, but it does have good results. So I would say if you're going to do anything, Chelsea chop your sedums, your Hylotelephiums. And I hope that helps our questioner.
I'm sure it will. Right. Okay. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks. But before you go, I need to know what song you're looking for today.
So my song this week is Loveful by the Cardigans. Because the chorus, of course, is love me," which I'm not sure I'm going to persuade you to love the slugs and snails, but maybe learning to live with slugs and snails in a more sustainable way is what we should be aiming for.
Okay.
So, Loveful by the Cardigans, please.
Thank you very much, and I'll speak to you in a
Thank
couple of
you.
weeks. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.